Hello, welcome to the Miranda Writes podcast.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Vanessa.
We have the right to remain silent.
But we probably won't.
No.
Never.
Not a chance.
Can't.
Like ever.
Ever.
Hi, Mujer. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Florecita.
I finally decided to grace everybody with my presence.
There
it's
you
like
go.
Damn near midnight.
Today's gonna be a good day. Mujer showed up. And I'm like, eh.
I know. Me too. I've like haven't slept for like three days straight.
Bet. Oh my god.
I don't know how I'm functioning. So, anyways, how was your week?
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little busy yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It
was Dawn's birthday.
Yeah, it was Keefa's birthday.
Keefa's birthday.
Happy birthday, Keef. Her birthday's actually
Happy
today.
Happy birthday, Keefa.
Even though she don't listen to us.
I know. It's okay.
But still.
It's okay. She can listen to this one.
Yeah.
It won't kill her.
It might.
Yeah, it might.
But yeah, today's her actual birthday. So anyways.
I know. I told her happy birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, you're my favorite rocker chick.
Yeah, she liked it. Everything turned out good. I was like experimenting, making like a cobbler.
Uh-huh, I saw
cake.
That.
Yeah, which I got your stuff right there for you. Ready to go?
When
you ready to
go when I'm ready to leave.
Yeah. But anyways, it was good. It was a good week. Had a good
I know.
Week.
I told her that I would make her dinner on Sunday if she was available.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey,
so
that's
you
nice.
Can come.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're invited, but she hasn't said anything, so I don't know if she's going to come. But it is her birthday today. Happy mm-hmm. birthday, yeah. Keefa.
Yeah, happy birthday,
and
Keef.
I did tell her, I was like, you're my favorite, you're one of my favorite fellow rocker besties. That's what I told her. You're
Aww.
One of my favorite fellow rocker besties.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't wait to rock out with you again. I was like, I know,
right? The COVID.
The COVID.
But it was a little busy yesterday, but... Had a little bit too much to drink, comadre.
Oh, I hate that.
So my body is feeling it
today.
1,000 times today.
We're not young anymore, Mohan.
I know. Yo girl needs to stop acting. Look at her. She's old. Yo girl's old.
Andale.
Dang. I was like, I still am not feeling myself today. I'm just like all like,
I know, right?
I have like dead eyes. It's been a nightmare. Anyways, but it was fun. It was all worth it.
That's
what about
good.
You? I know you've been busy.
Yes, I've been so busy this week. Oh my God, it's been insane. I don't even remember. The week flew by so fast.
I know.
I don't even remember what I did this week. That's how freaking fast it flew by.
Yeah. And freaking congratulations on this thing that you're doing tonight, this story you're doing tonight.
Oh, thank you.
You're crazy. Comadre, she has balls, like real balls. I would never have done that. I would be like, nope, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to see anybody. I'll just look on the internet for info. But I mean,
oh my god,
damn, you really stuck your neck out on this one, comadre.
Yeah, I did. I
but good for you. That was
thank
really
you.
That was really bold.
It was well, before we go mm-hmm. on with that, I wanted to tell Paul happy birthday from Homestead Horrors. It was his birthday on Tuesday.
Yes, it was his birthday
yes.
on Tuesday.
Happy Aww. Birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul. If you were here, we would have made you some apple cobbler and some other shit.
We would have made you some pozole or something.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, that sounds so yummy.
Yes.
Mujer makes the best pozole.
Best.
And I would have made... something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I like, I don't know. I think I cook pretty good.
Yeah. Anything
whatever.
You make is good.
Thank you. I think, but you too. You've been getting really good.
I've been getting down.
Yes. You've been getting
queen.
Down in that kitchen.
Should have saw me yesterday. I was like, I was like an octopus. I mean, I was everywhere. Now I'm exhausted. I need like
you.
This whole weekend to recoup from one day embarrassing cooking for like one person.
I know. I feel
Imagine.
Like, and I know I feel when I have to make dinner, and oh my god,
Why?
It's like so awful.
I know.
But yeah, it was Paul's birthday this week, and I
happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. We did send him a package for his birthday. So, and then he has another one coming too. So, yeah. So be on the lookout, Paul.
Paul's like our broster from another mister. What are they?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's not sister from another mister, but he's our bro from another hoe. Just kidding. Just kidding. Kidding, Paul. It sounded good, though.
It sounded right? Good. Yeah, it did. It really did. It was funny. There you
go. Bro from another hoe. Bro from another. Hey, if you're on that list, you feel damn special. You get like a platinum star.
So yeah. But anyways, I'm still on my 90s kick. I'm like in this. I'm trying to be young again, and it's not happening.
Okay, so you're on a 90s kick.
Still, yeah.
I'm on the freaking, got back on the train. No, I'm just kidding. The alcohol train.
I was like, what train?
The alcohol train.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it just totally didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I just like kind of crashed and burned. There you go.
It just veered off, and then here we are. Well,
I mean, we tried.
Happens.
We tried. We tried.
She tried.
She tried. So, but thank you. I was, this week I was supposed to have a TUFA, two cases for one episode.
Yeah.
But, I was trying to find information about a case and I couldn't get anything. Like it was like maybe a paragraph. And I was really upset, and you know, and then the other case had information too. They had more information, but I was like, well, I wanted to talk to the family or friends of the family to kind of like try to get their input. So of course I wait to the last minute as usual. And I ended up
to torture ourselves.
Yes, we
and
love
time crunch.
Yes,
like your girls ain't working good and hard if it ain't on a time crunch.
I know. I swear to God, that's like the best time. That like that's I do my best work when I'm like on a time crunch. Like when I'm like, oh, anyways, it's awful.
Just awful.
So I did. I this case was a case suggestion by Tony. Hi Tony.
Hi Tony. Thank you for your suggestion.
And I know somebody else suggested it to me, and it, I was like, I want to say it was Janelle, but I don't remember.
You're all
So if it was you, I'm sorry. I'm not saying your name. Just shoot us an email. Let me know that it was you that suggested this case to me. But it's a really good case. Okay. So I couldn't find anything. So then I know Tony sent me something, but somebody else had sent me the Facebook page. And I was like, oh, okay. So then when yesterday I didn't have anything because I like to torture myself, like you said. And so I was like, well, I need something. So then I messaged the Facebook page and I you know, introduced myself, and I said, "No, this is weird, but I'm my sister and I have a true crime podcast, and I would like to talk about your mom's murder." Yeah, the story. And she responded. I got a response.
That is ballsy.
And we were just kind of like going back and forth. I was so excited last night. Honey came over and I was like, oh my God, you'll never guess what happened. So I was like telling him, and then he was like, really? And I said, and then I was like, yeah. He's like, so what you're telling me is the reason dinner isn't ready is because you were busy talking on the phone.
You're all listen. This podcast comes first.
And I was like,
before you.
Before dinner.
Yeah. Before dinner.
And so he was just kidding though. So we were just kind of like, I was like all excited and I was telling him. So anyway, so yeah, so her and I were going back and forth, and then I was like, would it just be easier if we spoke over the phone? And and then I was like, here's my number if you want to talk to me. If not, I completely understand. Please don't feel obligated. Well, she called me today.
Wow.
And she was like, can I call you in like 15 minutes? And I was like, yes. Yeah. So I was like, waiting by the phone, like a teenage girl is waiting for her crush to call.
Waiting for a dick appointment?
Yeah. Yes.
Teenage girl waiting for her dick appointment.
Yes, that's exactly what I was like, not leaving the phone. And I was like, the kids were talking to me and I was like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me.
Trying to concentrate.
I'm trying. I'm waiting for a phone call. So anyways, so I received all of my information from the following. Amy Anderson's daughter, Kim Sanders.
Dang. Oh, we starting, y'all. She ready.
Yes.
She is ready. Okay.
Kim was a rock star. Like, she gave me all the information I was seeking.
Nice.
She answered all my questions, and she was a gem in all of this.
Wow.
I'm so grateful for her because the articles I did find were so scarce with information. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how the podcast was going to go. So anyways, Kim, you are amazing, and I'm sure that you make your mama proud every single day.
Aw, thank you, Kim.
So on with the episode. This week was supposed to be a tufa, like I was saying. Mm-hmm. However, I finally got my shit together on the eve of and received all of this information. So I got a lot of information, so I'm making this Amy's episode.
Okay.
And this episode will be called Saving Amy.
Nice.
And the reason I named it that is because there's a Brantley Gilbert song, mm-hmm. and it's called Saving Amy. And that's what I thought of when I was doing this case. So this is a cold case. So please, if anyone has any information, please call the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. And we'll give that number to you at the end of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Someone knows something, even the tiniest detail could crack this case wide open. So please, please call with any information you may have. This case is from Pinal County, Arizona. Again, it's the cold case of Amy Anderson. Amy was born in Casa Grande, Arizona, to Betty and Lionel Armenta on June 20th, 1966. Mm-hmm. Amy grew up in Casa Grande, and when she was a little over 15 years old, she gave birth to her first child.
Oh my God.
A baby girl. Amy understood that being so young, she wasn't able to care and provide for her daughter the way she deserved. So she gave her baby girl up for adoption.
Oh, wow.
I can't imagine how hard that must have been for her. Mm-hmm. When Amy was 19, she gave birth to her second child, Kim, a year later at around 20 to 21 years old. Mm-hmm. Her son, Zach, arrived. And then 4 years after Zach, 5 years after Kim, she gave birth to her baby, Lindsay.
Oh.
By 1998, Amy was married and living in Stanfield with her husband, Roger, and their three kids.
Wow.
On Saturday, November 7th, Amy had gathered the kids to meet her parents, siblings, and the siblings' families at St. Anthony's Catholic Church Bazaar in Casa Grande, Arizona. Mm-hmm. So that's like a little carnival that the Catholic Church throws every year.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had it here in Casa Grande, but I know they have it in Eloy like every year.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I've heard that word before.
The bazaar, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Roger had stayed behind because he wasn't feeling very well. Mm-hmm. As Amy was leaving, she was stopped by her neighbor's son. And his name was John James Malone, a.k.a. Tree. Mm-hmm. That's what the neighborhood kids called him because he was so tall. He was like, he's 6'4".
Wow.
Oh, shit, I forgot to get it. So anyway, they weren't too familiar with each other, but Tree had gone by their house on a previous occasion trying to sell Amy and Roger some Disney VHS tapes or VHS movies for the kids. But this time, he had a generator for sale and stopped Amy to tell her that he wanted to sell her, or he wanted to sell the generator to her husband. Amy told him her and the kids were leaving to the bazaar, but Roger was home and he could probably stop by later if he wanted to. After the bazaar, Amy took the kids home, Kim grabbed some things, and Amy drove her two streets over so that she could spend the night at a friend's house. Kim stated when she got dropped off the next day and didn't see her mom's van, she knew right away that something was terribly wrong.
Oh, my God.
Roger called the Pinal County Sheriff's Office and reported his wife missing that evening.
Wow.
Okay, so that was what Kim remembers of that night. Mm-hmm. And after she was dropped off, you know, like the night that, you know, that they went to the bazaar, and then after she was dropped off, that's what she remembers. Okay. Now let's get into what happened that night according to eyewitnesses.
Okay.
So per John, his statement that he gave to PCSO, he had asked Amy to give him a ride to the Circle K in Stanfield. Once they arrived, he said that there were some tweakers that had gone up to them. So if you don't know what a tweaker is, somebody that's addicted to meth, they call them tweakers. So he's saying that a couple of tweakers had gone up to them, and Amy left with these said tweakers, following them in her van to go get high. And that was where they had parted ways that night. This is John's.
John, a.k.a. Tree.
Yes, John, a.k.a. Tree. So if you hear me say Tree, I'm talking about John. Because he's the same person. It's just that's what the kids called him. So, yeah. So after that happened, he didn't see her. But according to the eyewitnesses, they had both been at the store at the same time. Amy walked to her van that was parked around the corner out of sight from everyone. So I don't know if you remember what Circle K looks like in Stanfield. But it's like facing the main road, the main like highway. It's like an old highway. And like it's kind of like it's secluded. It's on a corner and it's kind of secluded. So like on to the left of the Circle K is like, is it like a house or something? But it's like, there's like all kinds of trees by like that surround that area.
I think it's like a business, a commercial business property, yes. But they have like oleanders.
That's what it is.
Separating their property from Circle K.
Yes. Well, there's a road in between them and between Circle K and that place. Yes. And then on the other side, there's just fields, right? Of the Circle K, to the left of the Circle K, right? If you're looking, like, if you're standing facing in front of the Circle K, facing the front of it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I remember. Is that correct? Do you remember?
I remember, like, oleanders on the right-hand side, too.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Because I think there was another business on that side.
That makes sense, but a little past that, there was just, like, fields, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I remember. Okay. So I'm assuming that she had been parked on this on the left hand side of the of the Circle K.
Yeah, because it's real dark right there.
Yeah, it's real dark. Yeah, and then we'll get into that in a little bit. So and then on this side, on the right hand side, there was like that business. So there's like really not anywhere to park right there.
No.
Yeah.
You could either park just in the front
or on the side. Yeah, on the left hand side. Yeah. Okay. So, but according to eyewitnesses, they had both been at the store at the same time. Amy walked to her van that was parked around the corner out of sight of everyone. John was talking to an employee and stated to the employee, and I quote, "I'm going to go get my money from this bitch." And then he followed her, like he was walking in her direction, like followed her around the corner. So, but here's where it gets like sketchy. No one had actually seen him get into her van because it was on the side and there was like, There was nobody there.
Yeah.
So here's what we do know, though. It was dark because Kim said that they got back from the bazaar about 7. So if she got back about 7, it probably took her, like, what, 5 minutes to grab her stuff and then go. Her mom took her to her friend's house.
Right.
Like, those 2 streets over.
Yeah.
And Stanfield is, like, super small.
Yeah.
How many people would you say live there?
Ooh, I don't know. We could Google it.
Yeah, Google the population.
Okay.
I mean, back then it was smaller than it is now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not that it's grown any, but, you know. So it literally was like a hop and a skip away.
Yes.
The friend, Kim's friend.
Let's see. It says Stanfield population is about 2,000 people.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. That was in 2010.
2010?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in 98, do you think it would be like lower?
Yeah, probably.
I would say about...
maybe like...
half of that?
Yeah, half.
I would say so like 5,000?
1,000.
1,000. Oh, it's 2,000. Sorry. I don't know why I thought 10. Yeah, I would say like 1,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like half of that.
Yeah.
So... and so Tree's mom lived, so it was, Tree wasn't actually their neighbor. His mm-hmm. mom lived down the road from Amy and her family.
Okay.
So his mom lived there, and he was kind of like always back and forth between Arizona and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I don't know what was in Pennsylvania that he was always mm-hmm. there, but.
Oh, okay. Just real quick correction. It says in 2017, Stanfield had a population of 405 people. See, in 2017.
That's what I was going to say. I think it was like in the hundreds, but I wasn't, I didn't want to like say that and then be wrong and then sound like a dumbass. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So that was a correction on that. Sorry. So I don't know what this 1,961 means, but anyways.
They're probably counting like Hidden Valley and stuff like
that. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're probably counting like Hidden Valley and Stanfield. And
yeah.
Stuff
so
like, as grouping it together.
Yeah. So just. Clarification on that. 405 people in 2017, so there probably was like 200 people back then.
I would say it was like, it wasn't, it's not a big town. It's like a really extremely small town.
Yep.
So Tree's mom lived down the road from mm-hmm. Amy. So he was like, Tree was always like back and forth between, like I said, Arizona and Pennsylvania. Well, mm-hmm. at this time he was in Arizona, obviously.
What was in Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
Okay.
So we know that it was dark. We know she was parked around the corner, and that was the last time anyone had ever seen Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another detail that has been a little unclear, from the eyewitnesses. Some say that once she got into the van, mm-hmm. she drove south, headed towards the Stanfield Elementary School.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. that would be like, okay, so for our listeners, if you're standing in front of the Circle K, mm-hmm. it's It'd like the road to the left of her. So mm-hmm. you just follow that road down. And then like, not even like a quarter of a mile, huh? Mm-hmm. The school is right there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the school's on the left, on the right-hand side. So it'd be, like, right behind Circle K.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right behind it, but it's, like, behind it. Like, because mm-hmm. there's a trailer park behind Circle K, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, some other stuff, and then there's the school.
Right.
So others say that they had seen her go towards Robinette's
mm-hmm.
and go down that street.
Mm-hmm.
Then not too long after, she came back up towards the main road
mm-hmm.
and towards Circle K, and then drove south
mm-hmm.
towards the school.
Okay.
So what the only thing that I could think of would be that maybe some were more observant than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, well, I did see her go, because I mean, it's literally across the street, like Robinette's.
Yeah, Robinette's
and it's
is
not,
across the street.
It's again, this town is like super small, yes. super tiny.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, it would take her that long to go down the road by Robinette's and then come back up to back to the Circle K and then towards the school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that some, maybe the eyewitnesses weren't paying that close attention. And they were probably like, kind of like preoccupied. Well, then they were working. Oh, and that's another thing. So the eyewitnesses were Circle K employees, and mm-hmm. there was a couple friends in there, talking to the employees. But Amy also worked at the Circle K, so mm-hmm. they knew who she was.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so they knew her. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They knew her, like, you know, it wasn't like somebody that, I mean, even if she didn't work there, I'm sure they would have known who she was. But
right.
they knew her on a personal level because she was a coworker of theirs.
Okay.
So one of the Circle K employees, one of the eyewitnesses, stated later on in the night he had been stacking crates when John came around the corner out of the dark, covered in dust, with a big stain on his leg. And he smelled extremely bad. The eyewitness took note that John had kept smelling his fingers and told the employee that he thinks he stepped in cow shit because he stunk really bad. This is where I'm assuming at least there were a handful of eyewitnesses that night. Like at least four of them.
Right.
I would say the least four, the most five. Mm-hmm. You know. But all of their statements matched and or were fairly close to what the others had said. So none of them had strayed like mm-hmm. from what was being said.
Right.
So all of this had gone on mm-hmm. Saturday night, which was November 7th,
okay.
the night of the bazaar, she had come back from the bazaar.
Mm-hmm.
So unbeknownst to Amy's family, before Roger had reported her missing, a school employee had noticed a van in the parking lot with the driver's side door open. The employee went outside to make sure everything was okay and noticed something was very off, so they contacted Pinal County Sheriff's Office.
Mm-hmm.
Upon arrival, the scene did not look good. Some of Amy's clothes were inside the van. Others were strewn outside, or strewn, like mm-hmm. just thrown kind of like outside of the van. And there was feces all over the van door, all over the steering wheel, like everywhere. And one of her shoes was in the van, but the other one was nowhere to be found. Also, at some point, they kind of thought that maybe Amy's van might have been stuck in a wash or something because it was really, really, like, dusty.
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of, like, so here in Arizona, we have, like, this fine powder dust sometimes and like closer to the washes and stuff, and you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like literally like a powder,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that was underneath the van and like all over it.
Oh shoot.
Mm-hmm. Amy's family is the one that had conducted all the search parties for her. They covered as much ground as they could. 10 days after her disappearance, on November 17th, 1998, Amy's brother-in-law, Raleigh, found her body near I-8, coincidentally in a wash. So, like, a wash is, like, kind of like a, not a ditch, but it's, like, a where water goes through for the irrigation, right? For, like, the fields and stuff.
Like a canal.
Like a canal, that's what mm-hmm. it is, yeah. Not too far from where her van had been found.
Wow.
Her other shoe, they had found near her body with the shoelaces taken out.
Uh-huh.
She had been strangled with her own shoelaces.
What the freak?
Raleigh was married to her sister, Rosemary. Raleigh? Her sister's husband.
Okay.
So Raleigh never recovered from finding Amy like that.
Oh, okay.
She had lived with him and her older sister, Rosemary, for like a little while.
Okay.
So I think he like viewed her as like a daughter.
Right.
Because Rosemary was a lot older than uh-huh. Amy. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. Kim stated that one of her friends, Nicole, had told her that her uncle Bobby and Tree had gone over to her grandma's house the night that her mom disappeared and tried to sell her grandma a microwave. And they were in Amy's
van.
Mm-hmm. When Kim had mentioned this to Pinal County Sheriff's Office, they went and questioned Nicole's grandma, and she denied everything. PCSO then questioned Nicole, and she stated that she had never told Kim that, and that all she said to her was that she was sorry about her mom.
What the
freak? So Nicole, like, seriously just straight out fucking lied to the cops.
Wow.
Now let's get into the background of John James Malone. 3 months before Amy's murder, John had been released from prison. So in August of 1998, he had been released from prison. When PCSO ran his name, so when the Pinal County Sheriff's Office ran his name, they found that he had a history of being in and out of the system. Mm-hmm. And he was also a sex offender, but he hadn't registered. Yeah.
Wow.
A week after he had been interviewed, so they interviewed him twice. Mm-hmm. So a week after that, I'm assuming, like, they probably, you know, like, questioned people, and then they probably questioned him initially and then spoke with the eyewitnesses and then questioned him again. Mm-hmm. So they interviewed him twice, but within a week after being interviewed, like within the first week of her disappearance, before they found her body, John James Malone fled back to Pennsylvania.
Wow.
On Monday. Oh, okay. Yeah, he fled back to Pennsylvania. So then the case went cold. Mm. And as much as they tried to, I guess, kind of like keep the case alive, it just kind of went cold. Because it was like really, this was 1998, and yeah, DNA was around, but it was like in the early stages, I'm assuming.
So that's what my question was going to be. Like, it just sounds a little bit too coincidental that this guy is a unregistered sex offender, just got released out of prison.
I just got water on my mic.
Hopefully we can hear the rest of your story. Suck it out. No,
I know.
But I hope that they took some DNA. Why would they? I know that there's probably didn't have enough evidence at the time, but just him being a unregistered sex offender, like, that's a offense, right?
Yeah.
If you're released from prison.
But, okay, so here's the thing. Like, we have to remember, yes, you're correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you're correct. That would be absolutely
enough.
And here's the thing, though. Like, this was back in 1998. And again, I'm not making excuses for anybody. Please don't. I'm just thinking of it like, okay, so let me give you an example, for instance. Mm-hmm. There was a guy not too long ago that he lived around the corner from me. So I live in the middle of the street. So like smack in the middle. So if you went down to the stop sign and then made a right, like there was a house right there on the corner and then the house next to that one. A sex offender lived there, and he lived there for years. Uh-huh. Like, I want to say at least 5 years.
Uh-huh.
He never registered.
What?
He never registered.
No.
Yeah, and then they, like, seriously, he had sold the house. He remodeled this house, sold it, and after he sold it and left, they sent out flyers that he was living there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Too late.
And he was gone already.
Jesus Christ.
So, I mean, yeah, like, if that happened now in 2020 or 2019, it was 2019 at the time. Can you imagine what it was like in 1998?
Right.
It was just kind of like maybe a slap on the wrist. Like, don't do that again.
Oh, my God. I just, like, don't. I feel like that's, like, unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. It is.
I mean, because like, I just feel like it was almost like in a platter.
Exactly.
Like the typical, I don't want to say perfect suspect, but the most ideal suspect, I guess I should say, especially somebody that was known to be like he would have been one of the last people to see her, basically, regardless whether he was trying to sell her something or saw her at the store or
whatever his deal was, whatever he wanted, whatever his reasoning was to, you know, yeah. I mean, and then here's the thing also, like, I mean, when I was talking to Kim, I was telling her, I was like, it just seems weird to me. Like, I feel like those types of people, they are on the lookout all the time. Yes.
They're predators.
Yes, exactly.
They're predators.
Yeah.
They are known.
Obviously.
Probably natural born freaking predator. Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, because, I mean, come on.
Yeah, like,
you know, he doesn't have that kind of history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By going to church every Sunday.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Being a...
You're going to jail for going to church every Sunday. Bombay.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, but, I mean, obviously he had that type of record for a reason.
Well, yeah.
Known to be in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Yeah.
That whole Absolutely. Situation is just sketchy right there. So
it is. It's sketchy as
I'm
fuck.
No professional.
Listen, we're not cops.
Yeah, we're not cops. But what happened was if I was, your girl, would have been suspicious. Right?
It's that all suspect.
Bad.
It's like, okay, so here's the thing also. Like, he wasn't a known sex offender at the time that he was seen with her. I mean, after her disappearance was when they found out that he was a sex offender.
Unregistered
sex offender, yeah.
Okay.
So knowing that, like, that
is alone,
like a red flag, huge red flag.
I was just going to say that.
Why are you not on this motherfucker?
And he, like, was just released.
Ticks on a dog's ass. Like, what the hell? Yeah, exactly. He had just been released from prison in August.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to find a reason why they weren't on him more, but I can't, I don't have a reason. And it's ridiculous because, like you said, he had just 3 months before he had been released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's an unregistered sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
This girl goes missing and he was the last person to be seen with her.
Like, hey, I'm no professional here.
Yeah.
But I mean,
we don't have a Harvard degree or anything.
Yeah, in criminal justice or law or whatever. But I mean, listen, if it was a snake, it would have bit him.
I know.
Because that just seems too coincidental.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
So
next question.
Okay, go ahead.
Was she a sexually assaulted?
Okay, we'll get to that in a little bit.
All
right. Wait, let me see. You woke up. Hold on. Let me see if I wrote it down here. Okay, I didn't. So I did ask Kim if she had been sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
But they were told that decomp was already too bad and there was no way to tell whether she had been or not. Yeah. So
they found her 10 days after.
And
it's hot over here.
Yeah, it is hot. So, I mean, like...
And it happened
in November. So it's not that hot. But no, it is. Because, it's still hot in November.
It is still hot in November.
Shit.
I mean, you're looking at like 90s.
Yeah.
It's like
that's
high
true.
80s, 90s.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, it depends.
And
yeah.
November
and
what?
No, it was November 17th that they found her.
Okay, so mid.
She went missing November 7th, the night of November 7th.
Mm.
And then they found her.
Yeah, it's definitely still hot.
Yes, it is definitely still hot in the beginning of November, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
I know.
Okay. Okay. I don't even know. This is like making me so mad right now.
I know, right? Like, you're like,
I'm so mad.
I know. It's
like for her and the family.
Well, yeah. Yes. And then the fact that they had to conduct the searches.
Mm-hmm.
The family is the one. They're the ones that conducted the searches.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, I'm not talking bad about PCSO. Please don't think that. I mean, you know, but the evidence is there.
I just...
Everything's there. I don't know. So, okay.
That info's just hitting me some type of way. But go
that, ahead. Exactly. Yes. It's mm-hmm. hitting you some type. You said it perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, I did ask him that. Mm-hmm. So, it just... The case just went cold after.
Wow.
No one... And then Kim also said that at around that time, Terry from Terry's Consignment...
Mm-hmm.
She had gone missing around that time too.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, like on the news, it was they kept putting Terry on, but they didn't put they like Amy had like a couple seconds and Terry had like 5 minutes, which is awful. This is why I don't like the media mm-hmm. at all. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like the fucking media. I know you watch the news all the time, but this mm-hmm. is why I refuse to watch the news. I'd mm-hmm. rather read the news because I know that there's stories in there. But even then, like, mm-hmm. sometimes there's articles. Okay, there's articles. Like, again, like when I was trying to search for Amy, there mm-hmm. wasn't really anything. Mm-hmm. Everything was just kind of like, that was so scarce. Like, there was nothing there.
Right. And that's what makes it hard about doing... Like, I would love to do cases that don't get a lot of acknowledgement. Coverage. Yeah. Or coverage. Yeah. Like, you know, in this case.
Yeah.
It's so hard, though, because, like, if there's no information, where do you go? I mean, in this case, you totally kicked ass and...
Thank you.
You know.
I know. I was, like,
flashed so your balls. You know, and just went for it, which I wouldn't have done. I'd have been like, at least people are gonna spit in my freaking face or tell me to get the hell away, and I'm gonna be like, okay, sorry.
I'll just go fuck myself. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll just go fuck myself.
Yeah,
over here,
you know, right here. But
just go flick my bead over here.
Just finger flick my bead over here in the corner and let me know when you're ready. But yeah, so that was really bold, but it's so true, you know?
It's true, like, you just, I was so
And you
nervous.
Don't know exactly, yeah. you know, like, if the family is, if they feel comfortable with sharing that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, know? And that's so. Like, that. And I told her, I told Kim, I said, please, I mean, I'm just a stranger interrupting right. your life. I Bet. Mean, I'm just... You know, I don't, I'm, she's like, because she had said, sorry, I'm making dinner. And I'm like, no, please don't be sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just a stranger interrupting your life. So.
Right. For sure. Because, like, if that was me and somebody asked me, I'd been like, who the F are you?
Yeah.
Why do you want to know?
I know. I kept thinking about you because I was like, Vanessa would
I would never not. Do that. I just feel this, like, I'm just antisocial anyways. And it's getting worse as I'm getting older. But. You know, I mean, I'd just be like, who the F are you?
Yeah, and like that
Get
was
the
kinda,
F out of my face.
Like, that was kind of like, I always think of you when I do stuff like that. Because I'm like, if somebody had done that to Vanessa or me, I think I would cry and be like, I don't want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. But you would be like, get the fuck out of my face. Leave us alone.
Yeah, I would.
So, I mean, you know, and. I would just not want to deal with it. I think mm-hmm. I would just cry. Like, I don't even want to think about it, you know?
Yeah, because you just feel like you got to relive it all over
again.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah. And that's kind of like what I was afraid of with Kim. I was kind of, like, nervous because I was like, I don't want to overstep that boundary. I don't want to bring up all these feelings, you know? Mm-hmm. She lost her mom.
Yeah.
It's not... You know, that's irreplaceable. So
Bet.
She is irreplaceable. Not that, but she is irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Facts. So, like I said, the case went cold. Mm-hmm. No one had contacted them. They've tried to keep the case alive and bring coverage to it. Mm-hmm. But it's just hard. I mean, as the years go by, you know, people just...
Mm-hmm.
This just upsets me, but, you know... She did tell me that she contacted the Vidoc Society. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know
so
what that
they
is.
They work on cold cases.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But the detective that is on the case has to approve of them being there, you know.
Oh, really?
And they have to, like, they do their own DNA testing and stuff like that. Yeah, it's...
And where is that at? Mm-hmm. Or where?
I believe they have chapters. It's like, I don't, I know I've heard of them, and I should have researched it, but I didn't.
Like, are they local, like, in Pinal County?
Like, that's what I'm saying. I think they have chapters. Like, oh, I think they have, like, chapters in different states, you know? The VIDOC Society, and they just kind of, like, have, like, maybe lawyers or something that are able to get these things. And I know that they're, like, retired detectives and stuff like that.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's what Kim said. Kim's like, I think they're, like, retired detectives or people that were police officers, and now they're not.
Okay.
You know, for whatever reason, maybe they retired, or maybe they're just, like, done with it, and they're like, I'll just do this or whatever. I don't know.
But, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, just went cold, and then now we're going to fast forward to 2006. On Monday, July 17th, 2006, John James Malone had stabbed his roommate, Elliot Lee Tan, who was 36, on or around 7:30 p.m.
I was going to ask whatever happened to him.
Upon arrival at the residence, John... So, on July... On Monday... I didn't have my shit together. So...
Rewind.
Scratch all the other stuff out, what I just said. Scratch it, erase. And we can't... we don't edit, so...
Yeah, we don't.
Just pretend that that didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay, so you woke up.
So I woke up. So on Monday, July 17th, 2006, John James Malone had stabbed his roommate, Elliot Lee Tan, who was 36. Police arrived at the scene on or around 7:30 p.m. Upon arrival at the residence, John led the officers to the body of 17-year-old Sylvia Harris. She had been strangled with an electrical cord. According to John, he and Sylvia had gotten into an altercation over her age, and because John believed she was a runaway. According to John, Sylvia pushed him down the stairs. He struggled to keep her from leaving the apartment, but she got free, grabbed a kitchen knife, and was, like, trying to stab him with it. John stated he was able to get her on the floor and throw the knife into the living room. Other than that, he doesn't remember hurting her after.
How convenient.
Yes. However, when Mr. Tan had came home and found what was going on, he attacked John with that exact same knife. This is John's story. John was able to grab the knife from him, and that was when he stabbed him in the abdomen. And then Ali, I don't know how to pronounce his name. It looks like Elliot, but it's with an A.
Elliot.
So, so he left to go to the emergency room, and he left Sylvia there. So after Elliot had left, John noticed that Sylvia hadn't moved and she was becoming discolored. He knew at that point she was dead. So because Elliot had gone to the emergency room, they asked him what happened. He told them, they called the cops. The cops show up to John, to their apartment, because they were roommates. And then John leads them to the kitchen to Sylvia's body. And she had been strangled with an electrical cord, but he doesn't know how she got there like that.
So Elliot walks in prior to going to the emergency room.
Yes.
And he sees Sylvia's
body. He never says that. It doesn't say that.
Okay.
But that's what I'm thinking. Your train of thought is what I was thinking.
Right.
So what I'm thinking is that John probably tried something with Sylvia. She didn't like it. He was probably telling her, "I know you're a runaway. I'm gonna call the cops." You know, something like that. So they had an altercation, and then he's saying that she pushed him down the stairs, but I don't believe that's true. I believe he wanted something from her. He couldn't get it. He got mad, grabbed an extension cord, and strangled her. Elliot came home, seen that shit, grabbed a knife, tried to get John. John took it from him and stabbed him in the abdomen, but that guy was able to bounce. You know?
Right. Now, was Sylvia, now, mija, was Sylvia girlfriend to Elliot?
Yes. Okay. That was his girlfriend.
And where did this stabbing and strangling of Sylvia take place? I know it was at the apartment, but like, was it in Stanfield or was
this was in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, he went back to Pennsylvania. Yeah, he went back.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. I didn't know if he had come back to Arizona. No. Or, okay.
Once he left, he never came back.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, he might have, but we don't know for sure.
But this incident here happened in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, am I the only person here that hears this is a second strangling and he doesn't know?
Yeah.
He doesn't recall.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. And I think that's strange.
And that's what I was going to say.
That this remember
how Amy was strangled.
Yes.
Amy was strangled with the shoelace.
Yes.
Sylvia was strangled with an electrical cord.
Yeah.
So when Kim and I were talking, I'm like, that just makes me wonder, how many other people has he killed?
Yes.
Between your mom and Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way. He's mm-hmm. a potential serial killer.
Bet.
I'm sure there were more than Amy and Sylvia.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I was going to say. Like, okay, that just screams obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Sylvia's dead. Did he get arrested for that?
Yes, he did.
And he's in jail.
So, he was arrested. And on Tuesday, May 27th, John James Malone took a plea deal and pled guilty to third degree murder and aggravated assault.
Third degree murder?
He took a plea deal. Yeah. So I'm sure what they were telling him, like, is if you plead guilty, this is the lowest we can go. Third degree murder.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What was he sentenced to? Did it say?
It didn't say. The article was, like, scarce. Amy's article. Like, it was just, actually, Kim had to send me those articles because I could not find them. I could not, like, I was Googling his name. She gave me her name, so I was Googling her name. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything. Nothing was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So she found them and she sent me the links. She's like, I know I found it. I know I had it before. And so she found them and she sent me the links.
That is freaking sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't admitted still.
No.
To him knowing anything about
Amy's case.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Somebody knows something.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody knows something.
Somebody knows
something. Somebody knows something. Somebody has seen something. I don't know.
Okay, now my next question is, they were driving her van, so they had to have abandoned it.
And that guy, Bobby, Nicole's uncle, mm-hmm. he fled the state, too.
I was going to ask what happened to him.
He fled. So that's super suspect. Super suspect.
What in the freak?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, hey, listen. Like I said, we're no professionals. I'm not no police officer, no whatever. But
yeah,
I mean, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Mm. Damn.
Kim stated that she had received the redacted police report.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was talking to her, she was saying she had mentioned something about like they had said something about drugs and mm-hmm. I was like, what are you talking about? Like I didn't know, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, they were mentioning drugs. My mom was on drugs and. And then right away she starts defending her mom. And I'm like, Kim, regardless of whether your mom was on drugs or not, it does not matter.
Yeah.
She's a human being.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. None of that matters.
No, it does not.
Whether she was on drugs, if she was it doesn't matter. Yeah. Sex worker. I'm not saying she was. I'm just saying, like, if that was the case, like, it does not matter.
It does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
He took a life.
She's somebody's daughter.
Yes.
She's somebody's sister. She's somebody's mother. She's somebody's granddaughter.
Wow.
Somebody's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I mean, I, you know, and I was like, you know, you know, of course, you know, she's, and I'm like, where did you get that from? So then she said that she had received the redacted police report. Mm-hmm. And on there, John James had stated that she was on drugs. Mm. And, you know, and so there's that. I mean, like, I was like, oh, I don't know. That's not even, and why would the cops even believe him? Which I'm not saying they did or they didn't, yeah, because I don't know for sure.
Right.
But they put it in the police report. So I'm like, this guy is a freaking, a sex offender.
Yes. He
just was released from prison. He's lying to the police about, mm-hmm, being with her, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why would I, he would be the last person I would trust to give me the truth, right?
Right, right. Well, and then I think, you know, on that end, I think there, it's a report.
Well, yeah.
That they have to write.
Yeah, so they have to write it down. Obviously, yeah,
they have to write what he says.
Yes, I know that. Not but really. Still, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, every little detail counts.
Yes,
and it does. Of course, I'm sure, you know, they don't believe him, and or who knows if they did or didn't. But regardless as to what, they have to put it in the report.
Yeah, right? And I realize that. So, I know that. I mean, mm-hmm, I'm, you know, I do realize that, but. You know, like I was saying, she was saying that there was, you know, she starts like defending her mom, mm-hmm, right away. And I'm like, you don't have to defend your mom to me,
mm-hmm,
you know, and please don't feel like you have to defend her to anybody, mm-hmm, because
right,
regardless of whether she was or was not, is not the point. That has exactly nothing to do with what happened.
That's irrelevant. Yeah.
Yes.
It's beyond irrelevant.
Extremely, you know, irrelevant. Yeah. Like, so it's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So on or around 2007, Kim stated her grandmother had called her, mm-hmm, and said they needed to talk.
Okay.
It was then explained to Kim that she had an older sister.
Oh.
Kim had never known about her adopted sister.
Oh my goodness.
So her name was Sarah. Yeah, she had never known about her adopted sister, Sarah, until her grandma had called her.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah lived in Tucson and worked at a salon. She had always known she was adopted. It was never kept from her. Once Sarah made the decision to locate her birth mother, she sort of had a feeling that her mother wasn't alive anymore.
What?
Sarah stated that she had a lot of little weird things go on, and it made her want to locate her birth family.
Mm-hmm.
Once Kim had learned of her sister and where she worked, Kim stated that she lived with her little sister in Tucson for a little bit, and they lived like right across the street from the salon where Sarah worked.
Oh my God. That's cool, huh? What are the freaking odds?
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
I wasn't too sure what I expected out of this case when I first heard about it,
mm-hmm,
but it intrigued me. So, it kind of felt like something was pulling me to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy I decided to do it, though, and follow through,
mm-hmm,
because I was frustrated. I was so frustrated. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything in the beginning, but then something just told me to message, mm-hmm, the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm happy I did. Kind of feels like fate. I feel honored to be able to give Amy's case airtime. She deserves that.
Yeah.
Kim was amazing also.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a delight. She was so sweet. I got a lot of information. And I was like, man, this is a whole episode right here.
Yeah.
So I continued on with it.
Wow.
So that's the story of Amy Armenta Anderson.
Oh, my goodness. Well, rest in peace,
yeah, Amy. If you have any information, please contact the Pinal County Sheriff's Office at 520-866-5111. Again, that's 520-866-5111. And any little thing you know or probably, mm-hmm, seen or might have thought you saw, any little thing helps.
Mm-hmm.
And then please go follow and like the Facebook page. The Facebook page, Solve This Cold Case, Amy Armenta Anderson.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Great job, comadre.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Thank you.
And thanks, Kim, for providing all that info.
Yes, thank you, Kim. You're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Have to.
Good job.
Yes.
That was bold.
thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of sad, but I felt really bad, mm-hmm. you know, just having to take Kim through that whole thing right. again. That was hard
bet
for me. Mm-hmm. But Kim mentioned that the van was stuck in a wash. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, I said, how did you know that it was stuck in like a wash?
Hi, I'm Jenny, the host of It's Murder Up North. If you're curious about the murderous north of England, this podcast is definitely for you. I've lived in various parts of the north of England. I went to college in the shadow of Saddleworth Moor, where Myra Hindley and Ian Brady buried those 5 innocent children. I've worked in the city of Leeds, where the Yorkshire Ripper targeted his victims in the 1970s. Knowing how geographically close I've been to these crimes made me curious, and that curiosity became this podcast. However, my main hope is to help you see the person, not the victim.
So you were saying that you had asked Kim, how did she know that the vehicle was stuck in the wash?
Yeah, so Kim had told me that the van had been stuck in a wash, like somebody had been, like it had been stuck there and somebody was like trying to get it unstuck. Okay. Uh-huh. And I asked her how she knew. And she said that, remember that, the thing that I sent you, the screenshot?
Oh, yeah.
She had said that, I believe what she said, read it, make sure that I'm saying it right. But she, what she had told me was that the tires, they seen the tire tracks in the wash.
Oh, yeah. It says you could see the places in the sand.
Yeah, the places in the sand where it was stuck, mm-hmm. yeah. And a lot of dust was underneath the van. Mm-hmm. And what else did she say?
There was an oil spot on the sand. And the van was leaking oil and had been noted when it was found at the school.
Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So they, I mean, I don't understand how he got away.
Yes.
I mean, like, I know that they need evidence. I know that. Mm-hmm. Which, that was another thing. The evidence has, nobody knows where mm-hmm. the evidence is.
What?
Yeah.
The evidence that the police mm-hmm. have, or the van?
The van. They don't know where's that.
How do you not know?
The shoelaces that she was strangled with? Yes. They don't know where it's at.
How did they know she was strangled with shoelaces?
Well, they found it.
They found them, but they don't know where they're at. But
they don't know where the evidence is.
What? Mm-hmm. There could have been DNA on there.
I know.
And, I mean, obviously, if he had that incident, so now that new thing where they take the people's DNA mm-hmm. when they book them and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Wow. That right there is ultimate bullshit. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that. Wow. I'm pissed.
Yeah. It's upsetting. It's mm-hmm. really upsetting.
So pissed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So any evidence that they have is gone. There's nothing to.
Ugh.
I know.
Sickening.
Like once you get frustrated, it's like something else happens and you're even more frustrated.
Yeah. It's just sick.
Yeah.
Sick. Damn. Well, you know what? He did it and he got caught. But it is so awful that even he's still getting away with it. Mm-hmm. Third degree murder. Like, who the hell mm-hmm. gets that?
Yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea.
How much you want to make a bet? Like, he's probably released now.
Well, I looked. Okay, so I searched him up. Mm-hmm. I searched him because I was, you know, trying to find anything about him. And I was Googling him and nothing was coming up and I was getting upset. So then somebody had suggested that I go to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. So I did, and I found him, but I wasn't sure if that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his name, I just assumed he was white,
mm-hmm.
but he's not, he's black.
Oh.
Not that it matters. I mean, it doesn't matter, but
uh-huh.
I don't know. Just, I guess his name, I don't know.
I assumed he was white too.
Yeah, see, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, I did too.
It was his name.
Yes, mm-hmm. his name. So I saw him and I was like, oh, I don't think that's him. But I did notice before I spoke with Kim, I did notice, before I spoke with her and she told me they used to call him Tree, that he was 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
tall.
That's tall. So I was like, God, that guy's tall. And I was like, this doesn't, and I was trying to find out what he was charged with,
mm-hmm.
what he was convicted of, but I couldn't find anything.
Mm.
So, cause I found his inmate number
mm-hmm.
and then it was suggested for me to Google the inmate number. So mm-hmm. I did, and nothing. It wouldn't give me charges. It wouldn't give me anything.
Wow.
So I was like, okay. So then when I spoke with Kim and we were talking and I was like, I asked her, I said, Kim, is he black? And she goes, yeah.
Oh,
and I
wow.
said, okay, then I knew it was him.
Right.
And then I knew it was him. But he had a parole number next to him. It said parole number. So I'm assuming he's been paroled. If he has a parole number, he's been paroled.
Okay, so he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Walking the streets. I mean, how much you want to make a bet?
And it doesn't, you know, like, and I don't mean to make it like that, like about color. Like, please don't take it that way. I don't know. I just assumed he was white.
I did too.
You know?
Well, yeah, I did too. I don't know why. It was the name.
It was the name.
I thought.
That... And it doesn't matter what color he is. I mean, he's a murderer.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But I was like thrown off. It threw me off.
Yeah.
By the name. And then I saw this picture and I was like, that can't be him. And, mm-hmm. and it was.
Wow.
So I didn't screenshot his picture, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll put it up with her pictures.
Ugh. Jesus. And I mean, somebody of that size.
Yeah, you don't
imagine forget. Like, I mean, the overpowering.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that girl, yes. the, you know, Amy yeah. not, I was going to say about Sylvia, but
oh, Sylvia.
First Amy. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she probably didn't even have a fighting chance.
No.
Somebody that size.
Yeah.
I mean, and the strength, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? And then Sylvia, the whole knife thing, I mm-hmm. think is bullshit,
yeah,
if
is.
You ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with what you were thinking, that he, you know, was probably trying to be with her, and she was probably telling him no.
Yeah, that's...
And, you know, he was trying to sexually assault her or something.
Yeah.
And she said no and probably was fighting back. And I mean, imagine again the size,
mm-hmm.
him on top of her. I mean, because hey, strangulation is up close
and personal. Yes.
Like it, and they're literally taking the life out of your body and looking at you dead in the face.
Yeah. It's
very.
Intimate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I did. So when Kim said that they found feces in the vehicle,
uh-huh, that's another question I was going to ask.
I believe that when people are strangled, they release body fluids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Body fluids and whatever else they have.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So that expel a lot of the. Waste, the human mm-hmm. waste.
And that was another thing that he said, that he thinks he had stepped in
cow manure.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that right there with, of course, the feces being all over.
Yeah.
And that he kept smelling his fingers, probably because he couldn't get that smell off of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
For them not, I mean, it's just the whole thing. Why? I don't even understand.
The whole case is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
That's another red flag.
I understand that people, I understand that, that when you're in law enforcement, you need to have evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. And I'm not talking bad about the cops or PCS or anybody, anybody for that matter. But I mean, there's so many red flags to this.
Absolutely.
And there's so many, like, he was the last person to be seen with her. And I know it's hard to convict somebody without a body, but they had a body.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that he had been released recently mm-hmm. from prison. They knew he was an unregistered sex offender. They knew that he was the last person to be seen with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that's all circumstantial, but at what point, because then they find her body, and then at what point, and then there's this little girl telling mm-hmm. Kim, my uncle and Tree were at my house trying to sell my mom or my grandma microwave, and they were in your mom's van.
Mm-hmm.
And then they knew that the van had been stuck in the, you know, by the wash or in the wash or whatever. So there's that. I mean, I know that people have been convicted for murder on a lot less circumstantial evidence than that.
Exactly.
So I think that's where the frustration comes from,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And the cherry on top was that he said that he thinks he stepped in cow shit, and then there's feces all over her van.
Exactly.
And there's he had a stain on his pants, which probably was oil.
DNA and or oil.
Yeah.
But then that's evidence mm-hmm. too. Like exactly. they can link that mm-hmm. the oil from his pants to the oil car. In the car.
Mm-hmm.
If it was feces, mm-hmm. then they can... that's evidence of her.
Mm-hmm.
That's DNA. We have DNA in everything. So mm-hmm. I'm sure shit isn't any different. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's so upsetting and it's so frustrating that this went on. And
wow. Like I said, you know what? I'm no scientist, mathematician, law enforcement. But 1 + 1 = 2.
We have graduated from Princeton with our...
yes.
With our
go to hell degree.
Go to hell degree. Yeah, with that. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's Amy's case. Wow,
well, that was a good, very good case.
I didn't want to tell you too much over the phone.
No, yeah, I'm happy you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
We should make that a rule.
Yeah, we should.
We can't tell each other.
It is hard. When I was doing Robert Fisher, like mm-hmm. I was sitting here talking to you about it, and I was like, I want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
Oh my God, Robert was such a good one. So yeah.
Wow. Well, rest in peace,
and
Amy, and God bless Kim and her family. Yes. And I really hope that, you know, you reaching out to her and our listeners everywhere, you know, somebody knows something.
Yeah.
Please come forward.
Yeah. Any little thing that you can remember. I mean, it might crack the case wide open. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's gone. Yeah. He's in Pennsylvania. So mm-hmm. it's not like he can come back and hurt you. And I mean, you know, even if he could. He's too old now to mm-hmm. do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, you know, any little bit helps.
Yeah. Whatever any little thing. Any little information.
That was a good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Like that. That was ballsy. Thank you. Bold.
I know.
I was like, ugh. Head freaking just took her balls out of her purse and just slapped them on her forehead. It was like, boom.
Boom, bitches.
Yo, girl's ready.
I should have been an investigative journalist.
You should. I think you're like in the wrong
field
of work. You do really good at stuff like this.
Jeez, I don't know. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Please come forward.
Yes, and please go... follow and like the Facebook page.
Yeah. Facebook page, our IG page.
Oh, yeah. Please our go updated. Our social media pages. Mm-hmm. Yes. We have the Miranda Writes podcast. We're the Miranda Writes podcast on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
On IG, we are the Miranda Writes _19.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, we're at capital T, lowercase H E, capital R, lowercase G H T S,
mm-hmm.
capital M, lowercase I R N D A.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I spelled it. I spelled it wrong.
That's for IG.
No, I spelled.
Oh, for Twitter.
I spelled for Twitter. I put at. Well, I spelled at the Writes Miranda.
It's 12:30. She's exhausted.
I'm so tired.
She had a bad day today.
So scratch the Twitter.
Yeah.
So Twitter is at capital T A or capital T lowercase H E, capital M lowercase I R N D A.
Mm-hmm.
Capital R lowercase G H T S.
Yes.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Yo girl's tired. It's 12:30.
And then we updated our website again. I keep messing with it.
I know.
But we actually have a website, a web page, an actual website. It's not like .20 Wix or whatever. It's just so you put in Google or wherever. The Miranda Writes podcast.com and it takes you right to our page.
There you go. And that is a masterpiece. Comadre has been working really hard.
Yes.
Like she always does on that web page.
Yeah, the web page.
So and it looks so really cute. Good.
Our little about we have a page that's about us and it says Meet the Gals and it's pictures of Mujer and I and then you scroll down and
go take a look.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
She did a really, really awesome job.
Thank you.
On it. It looks wonderful.
So we have like a pop-up too. So like when you go on our webpage, a thing pops up and it says, please subscribe to our website. And then it's like the crime scene tape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. It's cute. I like it.
It is cool. It's really cool.
And you can also stream our podcast from our webpage.
Oh, yeah.
Our website. So if you go to our website, so like if you're at work or whatever and you want to listen to us talk about nothing.
Yeah. Definitely. And if you like to hear all our manly
mistakes,
voices.
Yeah, and hear all our mistakes. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know our own social media accounts.
It's late.
You know, you can go on there and you can listen to our podcast. So like if you're at work and you don't have service, like me, I don't have service at work.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Then you can listen to the podcast on our website. You don't have to, because like where I work at, they block like Facebook, they block like Pandora, Spotify, all that stuff. Like, but they, you know. So, but if you're at work and you want to check us out, our website, go do that. And you, like I said, you can listen to our podcast on there. You can check out the About Us. There's pictures of Mohad and I when we, there's a one picture of us when we were little. I was trying to look for, I have a whole bunch of other ones. So I'm going to upload those pretty soon. You can see us when we were babies. Baby Mohad Bane and we were, baby Mohad Crystal.
When we were LBs, little bastards. Hit us up.
And that's it, I guess.
That's it. Yay. Good job.
Thank you.
It was wonderful.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.